All right, 719. Got an opportunity for you to win $1,000. Texas Hour's national keyword, bread, to 95819. That's BREAD to 95819. We'll text you back to confirm your entry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. You can play five times each weekday for five chances to win. It's 5K a day on 760 WJR. Official contest and more info are at WJR.com. Donald Trump spoke to the General Assembly at the UN in New York yesterday. Let's break it down. Jason Rowe, the principal of Rowe Strategic, joins us. Jason, it's good to have you back.
Wow, what a speech.
Yeah, it was something. It was long. He had some prompter issues, but Donald Trump went off the cuff and hit on a number of issues. What stuck out?
Well, I will tell you what truly stuck out is sitting on the world stage and in front of 200 nations leaders and ambassadors, lecturing them, dressing them down, insulting them, and then shortly thereafter posting a reversal of his position on Ukraine and Russia, which then forced all of those same people to turn around and praise him for coming along with them in support of Zelensky. If you've seen the Zelensky interview, that to itself is priceless, with Brett Baer on Fox News, describing his surprise at the change in position. So somehow Trump was able to go and mock these people to their faces and then force them to praise him for the rest of the day.
Jason, I got to ask you, the president said that the UN only writes strongly worded letters and doesn't actually solve wars. From your perspective, is that a fair criticism, or is that just political theater?
I think it's a very fair criticism, and I think it is a bipartisan criticism for leaders in Washington. All you have to do is look at the Human Rights Council. Here is a body within the United Nations that is supposed to lead on protecting human rights, and they allow some of the worst abusers of human rights on the planet to serve in leadership positions there. The hostility to Israel long predates October 7 and has been a big problem, and if not for the United States, Israel, and some of the Western European countries blocking some of the things that the UN has attempted to do against Israel. And the reality is, even when they've used peacekeepers, peacekeepers are not able to do very much other than maintain a presence. They are not a fighting force. And so the UN is basically an international debating body. And, the U.S. has been one of its primary funders. And I would say historically, they have been a useful validator of the U.S. position on various foreign policy issues. But even before Trump, I would say the UN and the U.S. have parted ways on a number of big issues. And so, criticism of the UN is very fair. It's a bloated, relatively ineffective organization. But it is the one place that the entire world, the developing world and the developed world, get together and try to navigate what's going on geopolitically.
Your thoughts, he went hard on immigration. Let's just hear that bite, Chris, immigration bite.
They've been invaded by a force of illegal aliens like nobody's ever seen before. Illegal aliens are pouring into Europe. Nobody is ever, and nobody's doing anything to change it, to get them out. It's not sustainable.
He either said preceding that or after that, that all your countries are going to hell. Your thoughts on the president saying that at the UN?
Well, I think his audience there, quite frankly, are people within a number of those countries, from the UK to Germany to Denmark. There have been a lot of problems exacerbated by a huge swelling in of immigrants into those countries. And some cases, say for Germany and the UK, millions of Muslims that are there now. I think, 20 since 2019, now 20% of Denmark's population is foreign-born. And, you don't think of the Danes as being a particularly pluralistic society. But there have been a lot of problems because there isn't the kind of assimilation when you have that much immigration that quickly, and you're seeing a lot of unrest. And you are seeing it kind of manifested in conservative nationalist movements in those countries. And it is a big frustration. You see a lot of protests in England and Germany, even seeing some of this in Italy as well. And so I think the audience there were kind of the new right that is emerging within Europe. There's the AfD party that is very strong in Germany and leading in some polls, though there aren't any upcoming elections. The same in the UK. The Tory party is, you know, relegated to a minor third party at this point. And Nigel Farage's Reform UK party is now, you know, leading in polls, though, again, no elections upcoming. So there is a huge rise within Western Europe of a conservative nationalism, and Trump is aligned with that movement, and I think that was who he was talking to.
I mean, even going back to his first term, he was tackling this idea of globalism and casting that aside, and he talked a lot about that again yesterday.
Well, it is. I mean, I would say if there's one thing that Trump has made me rethink as a conservative was my commitment to free trade, and I think more of a global economy. I think it's had some positives in terms of increasing a lot of people's cost of living because we can afford goods and services at very cheap prices compared to, you know, what our parents could afford and what they were able to do. But the expense of that is, you know, an erosion of a manufacturing base, you know, an emergence of, you know, low-skilled labor coming from other countries that have disrupted the education system, the economy, displaced jobs. So I think this rapid globalization over the last 25 years or so has, you know, just it's the absorption of that change. It's too much too fast. And so, you know, it's made me rethink. And I think you do have to require, as immigrants move into your nation, whether it's the United States or others, that there is some sort of assimilation. And so, you know, the pluralism is not a defect of society, but a strength. And when hundreds of thousands and millions of people move in, they concentrate in specific areas, they don't adopt the language or figure out a way culturally to assimilate with some of the nation's values and culture, you're going to have culture clashes. And that's what you're seeing. And I think we do have to slow immigration and make sure that we manage it in a way that it works for both the immigrants and the nations that are absorbing those immigrants.
Jason Rowe, always appreciate the insight. This about face on Ukraine is an interesting one too. Maybe signaling that he's not so invested in the idea that Vladimir Putin is going to change course on this either. So it's something to continue to watch. Appreciate you, Jason. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you got it. But the idea that Donald Trump has looked at the situation between Ukraine and Russia and said, you know, if we band together and continue to back Ukraine, mm-hmm. that they're going to be able to make up for the lost land that Russia took over and win this war. Meanwhile, coming up next, what's going on with the Tigers? Also, some interesting news on the alleged assassination of Donald Trump. That person was convicted yesterday. All that and more coming up on JR Morning.